to the Sunday morning service. It's good to see all of you here. Thank you, Brent, for leading us in worship. As you came in the doors, I'm sure some smells met you as you came in of what is to come. So we're excited about that, but we're also excited to have visitors here this morning, too. I see Proud here all the way from Thailand. So it's so good to see you here, Proud, after, I don't know, it's been a couple years, I think. Glad to have you here, and other visitors as well. Welcome to each one of you. Are happy to have Brother Daniel Pollard here with us this morning. He will be sharing the message as well as the meal, and I think he shared in the pastor study that if we don't get fed in the message, at least he'll feed us physically. So either way, we're going to get fed today. We are grateful to have him here. He and his wife are both here. They are currently living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to let him introduce himself more. He's formerly lived in New York City and also formerly from Trinidad as well. So glad to see what the Lord may have to share through him this morning. Brother Daniel, would you come forward? We'll have a word of prayer as we begin our service. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your mercies that are new again this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness. We also thank you, Lord, for some rain again this morning. You know our needs. You know our physical needs, and Lord, you also know the needs in our hearts this morning, and we just invite you to come into this service, and Lord, I just pray that this morning, through the word, you would minister to our hearts, and I pray, Lord, we would be willing to respond to what you speak to us this morning. I pray for Brother Daniel as he shares. I ask that you would speak through him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I just pray, Lord, that what he may have to say this morning could reach the hearers. Lord, we just again invite you here. May you receive all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
Let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Okay. Well, I bring you greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is and was, and he's coming again. Now, do you believe he's coming again?
Amen.
This I do, this I'm not too sure. Do you believe he's coming again?
Yes.
All right, it's okay. You can talk in church. You can say yes, amen. I think it's okay. All right, well, this morning, I'm glad to be here, and when I called you and I and told him that we're looking to come through this way, and we have friends we met about 2 years ago, and wanted to come see them, some Amish friends that we made, and I thought, well, I wanted to come, and he wanted me to come see his family, because I played a joke on him, and we became friends because of a joke. We were having dinner together. And there was a lot of people there that he know, and I mentioned to the waiter that it's my friend Levi's birthday. Now, I have to repent, it wasn't his birthday. I was telling him what is called a lie. And so the waiter came with others, and they sang him happy birthday. And everybody who was around on the table sang happy birthday. And he was so stunned, he didn't know what to say. He likes to pull pranks, and I pulled one on him. And he told me, watch your back. I'll get you back. So I'm going to go see him on Monday, so I have to watch my back. Well, this morning I was going to share with you, and I'm still wrestling with it, a message that I believe the church today needs to hear. The church, including myself, is a message of identity. Identity. In the world we live in today, there is what you call identity crisis. I read a story of a man that many years ago ran the Olympics, and he won gold medals in the Olympics, and he was well known in the U.S. And he came back, and he was honored for a man that was strong and won medals in the Olympics. Then a couple of years ago, he decided, I don't think he's a man, he thinks he's a woman. and he wanted to change his sex and change his name. He had an identity crisis. He wasn't sure if he was a man or he was a woman. Though his DNA said he is a man, you have to call him Miss. An identity crisis. There are some today that are not naming their children a boy or a girl. They say when the child gets of age, the child will decide whether it's a boy or a girl. Identity crisis. Then I realized in the Church of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of people that are fighting and bickering and leaving one church, going to the next one, and not knowing who they are in Jesus Christ. Who does God say you are? And do you live it? Take, for instance, if I would say to, if I was a president of the U.S., and I'd say to Jonai, you are, I'm going to send you to be the ambassador for the U.S. in Iran. You are the ambassador of the United States. Now, he goes there with a lot of power. When he sits at the table, he has the backing of the most powerful nation in the world, the United States. When he leaves the table, he has always show himself to be the ambassador of the United States. He represents the United States in what he do, what he say, how he carries himself, because he is an ambassador for the U.S. The Bible says you are an ambassador of Christ. How do you live your life? The Bible says that you are righteous. How do you live your life? The Bible says you are holy. How do you live? How should we then live? Should we live as people that is down and out because we don't feel good today? See, I don't feel victorious today. Do we work by faith or feelings? Do we live by how we feel today, or do we live in faith in Jesus Christ? God says in his word, in the book of Romans chapter 8, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But I don't feel like a conqueror. I mean, I don't feel victorious. But what does God's word say? God's word says, I am more than a conqueror. God says that you are a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation. Do you live it? Or do you walk as Christians just with your head down and because of the storms that come? Now, I was going to preach a whole message on identity, but this morning God laid it heavy on my heart to talk about the storms. The year was 2017. The month was September. My wife and I went on vacation. She had turned 60 years old in June of 2017. And I promised her one of the things she always wanted to do was to go to Paris. So we took a trip to Paris, London, and Rome. When we left London, we got on the train. We had our suitcases. It was a hot day. And we were dragging our suitcases on the train. And we were hungry. And we got off the train in Paris, and we had to get onto our bus to get to our hotel. Hot and raining and hungry. And we had just come out of a great 6 months of revival meetings. The ministry was growing. Things were going great. And then she got a call. And I got the call and I handed the phone. It was my daughter. And she said she got bad news. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it's a very aggressive one. When storms like that hit you, it can weaken your faith or it can strengthen your faith. Because if I know who I am in Christ, if I know who Christ says I am, it could help, it would strengthen my faith, even though I know this is real. She has cancer. We were going back home. We were going to cut our vacation short. And she says, no, Dad, Mom, you still got some more tests to do. Just continue your vacation and come back home. storms hit. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. And if you would just stand as we read God's word, just stand and we'll read the word in reverence to God and his word. The book of Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, Jesus speaking, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the wave beat onto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hither part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You may be seated. Where is your faith? Jesus was in the boat. Jesus is in your life. Jesus is the head of your life. You have faith in him. You believe in him. You trust him. And the storm comes. Storms will always come. 2 years ago, we were in Florida, West Palm Beach. I have a daughter that lives down there. And there was a storm coming. Big one. The afternoon, I went to help a pastor, boarded up his window. Put some wood on, boarded up the windows and closed all the doors and locked everything down. Because a storm was coming. And he was preparing for the storm. And sometimes we know when the storm will hit. Sometimes we know that there is a storm brewing and we could be prepared. But no matter how much we're prepared, we don't know what will happen. We know by faith we could probably ride through this one. You see, sometimes Jesus prevents us from the storm. Sometimes he walks with us in the storm. In this case, he was in the boat with the disciples. They knew he was there, yet they feared. When I heard of my daughter's situation, I feared. What would happen? She has two young children. She's younger, 30, she was 32 at the time, and you know, married, and things were going great. Her husband had just become a pilot for the Delta airline, and things were really getting good for them, and now the storm comes. And you see, the storm didn't affect only her, it affected us, as her parents. And then we said, do we go by our feelings, or do we go by faith? Because we know God is able to heal, but like the three Hebrew boys said, even if God do not prevent us from the fire, prevent us from the storm, we still would not bow. I mean, the storm is real, the cancer is real, but do I go by feelings or by faith? Take, for instance, Elijah. You know the story of Elijah. Elijah had went up on the mountain and he had wrestled with those there and tell them off, made a deal with them, said, okay, listen, build an altar and put wood, but no fire. And call your gods. That's how much faith you have. And they built the altar, and they called unto their gods from morning until evening. And Elijah laughed and said, where is your God? Is he on vacation? Did he went to relieve himself? Where is your God? And then it was Elijah's turn. And he had faith that God can move mountains. God can bring fire. And the Bible says that he made it even more difficult for himself. Not only the altar had wood on it, but he asked them to put buckets of water and put it on the wood. Because he had faith. And then he called on God, and fire came from heaven. But not too long after, he got word that one woman, Jezebel, had said the same things he did to the prophets, her prophets, not the prophets of God, but her sorcerer and her magicians. He had them all killed. Your same fate will come to you. And he went on feelings, and he ran. Your identity, who do you trust? We live in a world today where storms are coming in the homes. Children are leaving the faith, following the things of the world. Marriages are being tested. We've been working on marriages for the last 12, 13 years, marriage retreats. And some of the most conservative looking people are the ones that are struggling also. We were just up in Canada, where there's some Russian Mennonites. I mean, you see these people, they look godly and holy, everything looks just right in place. Then you hear them share their story, their testimony. And you realize that a storm that comes, no matter who you are, the storm comes. And the storms destroy homes, marriages, family. It doesn't choose one from the other. But what do you do when the storm comes? Why do we despair? Is it because we don't have enough faith, or because we allow our feelings to overtake our faith? No, these things are real. I'm not saying it's not. The storm that comes is real. The problems in life is real. The difficulties you and I will encounter while we're on this earth is real. But how do we do these things? Well, we have to. Maybe I just say this. In the book of Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah in the very first chapter. See, God knew that Jeremiah would come into a lot of storms. In the very first chapter, God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, while you were yet in the womb, before you were formed, before you were conceived, before you came forth out of the womb, I have called you. I have chosen you to be my prophet in all the lands. And yes, storms came. But he remembered the promises of God. See, when we're going through the storms, we have to remember the promises of God. I love preaching at graduations and other things about God says, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. The plans that you would prosper, plans that you would be in great health, plans that you would, that's great. But you know what I observe? The next verse after that says, so that you will pray, that you will seek me, that you will call upon me, and I will answer you. That you would have faith in me and surrender your heart to me. How do we stand against the storm? How do we receive the promises of God? By living by faith and not by feelings. By living by faith and not by sight. Again, I said, the situations are real. The things we encounter is real. I want to share some verses with you. My wife, if she's not back there, you want to bring that little bag for me? I believe it's in the vehicle. It's a couple of verses that I want to leave you with. I don't want to go on and on, but I want you to take God's word here for what it says. And whether you believe it or not, this is God's word. So I go back to the beginning. Who am I in Jesus Christ? What's my identity in Christ? Do I believe what the world say? Do I believe what other people say about me, or do I believe what God says about me? I believe because we do not understand the God we serve. We don't understand that He's a God that He loves us so much that in Deuteronomy, He tells us that His love for us is an everlasting love. Paul wrestled in Romans chapter 7, the things I should do, I don't, and the things I shouldn't, there's the things I do. And he was wrestling with who he was in Jesus Christ until he came to the realization, oh, wretched man that I am, who would deliver me? And then in chapter 8 of Romans, Paul says, now that I know who I am in Christ, now that I'm living not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, now, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, it walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I'm going to pass these out in the front here, and it's yours to keep. Now, it comes with a price. And the price is you got to stand up and read it. Take a couple of guys on this side. Now, what this says is not what you say, it's what God says. The word of God says, not me, not the church, not the denomination, not the world. The word of God says, you want to stand up and read that first, that what you got? The word of God says, you're what? You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to understand, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we should walk and live like people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Whatever's on the inside should be flowing on the outside. It must mean that we have the strength and the power. Next.
I'm born of God. Satan can't touch me.
You see, the Word of God says you're what? You're born of God. See, if we understand what God says, we are born of Him. We live as children of God. What does it mean to live as a child of God? Yes, someone may tell us, well, you would never make nothing of yourself. You'll live amongst you anything. I was told that. I was told you would never get anywhere in life. But God had a different... See, God saw beyond my faults and He saw my needs. And when I understand how much He loves me and how much He cares about me and His promises, then I have to live as an ambassador of Christ. Next.
I am not an orphan.
You're what?
I am not an orphan.
You're not an orphan. See, man, we walk around like we have no, you know, we're just orphans. But we were adopted by the King of Kings, the one who spoke and said, let there be light, and light came. You see, when the storms come, we feel we're all alone. We're like orphans. But we are not orphans. Next.
I am an overcomer.
You're what?
An overcomer.
No, you got to say that nice and loud. You're a what?
An overcomer.
Do you know what that means? It means I overcome no matter what may come. So when you walk through life, and there come a time in life when the storm would come, and when the storm comes, you remember that verse. God says, I'm an overcomer. Not by myself, but in him. Next.
I'm called of God.
You're what?
I'm called of God.
You're what?
Called of God.
You sure about that? Who said that? Who said you're called of God?
Timothy?
No.
Like, the verse.
God said it in his word. Look at the verse right here. 2 Timothy 1, 9. You are called of God. Okay. It wasn't the world that called you. Don't let the world drag you in the way. Don't let religion. No, it's God that called you. And live like a young man that is called of God. By God. Next.
I am adopted by God.
See, you are adopted. See, you didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He says, you are my child. I adopt you. You're no part of me. You're part of my family. Next.
I am filled with the Holy Spirit and unity.
You're what?
Filled with the Holy Spirit and
you
unity.
You sure about that?
Yep.
Who said that?
God.
God said it. I like that. See? God, see, many times we kind of like, I don't want to say I'm holy. See, God says I'm holy. I don't feel holy. Maybe some of the things I'm doing right now is not holy. But if God says I'm holy, I have to live that holy life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, by the Spirit of God, I beseech you, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you do what? That you do what? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's your. And do not be conformed to the ways of this. See, you can't be conformed to the ways of this world. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will know what is that good and perfect will of God. God transforms you. It's like a caterpillar, ugly looking creature. I mean, I think it's ugly looking. But inside of that caterpillar is a beautiful butterfly. And it has to work its way through. You can't help it. If you try to have that butterfly come out of the caterpillar, it will die. And sometimes we go through storms in life, and sometimes we want people to come and just help us through. And God says, no, I want you to trust me. Next one. Did you read yours already? Oh, we got a couple of them here yet still. Here you go. Pass the microphone over here. Everybody up in front this morning, get the blessings. You can get a tea out of home and put it on your refrigerator, and someday you're going to look back at it, and you're going to remember. Go ahead. The Word of God says,
I am a God of God.
Say again.
I am a God of God.
You are called of God. Sometimes you don't feel that way. Sometimes you feel, well, I'm a called of God. God don't care about me. And sometimes the feelings overtake what God's word says. You are called of God. Next. I'm running out of time, so we're going.
I am healed by the wounds of Jesus.
See, we always think of wound and healing as just a physical thing. You know, sometimes the biggest hurts and pain we have is from emotional problems. Sometimes we're feeling, because of maybe the family we grew up in or the life we came out of from, we feel that we just can't. And God says, I want to let you know you are healed. All the wounds that you would encounter, you're a young man. And I don't want to make a song bad, but you're going to run through a lot of problems going to come. Once you're on this earth, trouble would come. And God says, you will be healed. Or you are healed. Next. Oh, you need a microphone. Don't hug it.
I am called in God by righteousness.
You're called what?
In God by righteousness.
By what?
Righteousness.
You know, back in the old church, you couldn't say that. See, righteousness is being on the right side of God. I am God's right hand. I'm I'm his righteousness. I'm his favor. And God says, you know what? I've given you this title. Now you got to live to that title. See, it's not just I have a title. I'm just an ambassador. I have to live it out. It means a time I have to deny myself of things. Next.
I am sealed with the Spirit.
You are sealed. See, do you... Let me explain this to you. When it says sealed, it means there's no leak. The Spirit don't come in and it leak out. No, you are filled with His Spirit, young man. And live as a young man that is filled with His Spirit. Because I believe God has plans for your life. He has plans for all of us. But He has a plan for you. And the enemy wants it to leak out. But God says you are sealed. All right, one more. We have one more here. And this is not by your doing. This is by His doing.
I am in Christ Jesus by God's doing.
See, God, you're in Christ Jesus. See, God, again, He chose you. From the foundation of the earth, before your mom met your dad, God has chosen you. And He loves you. And His love for you is an everlasting love. People may talk about you as you grow up in life, when you start living for God. They say, she's trying to be holy. No, you're not trying to be holy. You're holy. She's trying to be righteous. No, you're righteous. And you live that holy and righteous life. She act like you are victorious. And all the hurts and all the pains that we go through in life, God sees them. He knows them. And He says to you, you are healed from your wounds, from the things of your past. I could go on and on and on. What I want you to do is to go in the Bible and look at the promises of God. And these wasn't promises made just because He wanted to do something. These are promises He wants you to hold on to. And He wants you to live those promises. When He says you are more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror in what? In Christ Jesus. See, there's a lot of people that's running from church to church, place to place. They don't know where they are in Christ. And then when the storm comes, what happens? Yes, at first you get shaken. A lot of great men in the Bible got shaken when they heard. Take, for instance, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 tells us a story of a man who was the king. And he heard word that not one army, not two armies, but three armies were coming against him. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat feared. But then he inquired of the Lord. And he says, call a fast. And all the people fasted and they prayed. And then one man stood up in the assembly as the Spirit of God was there. And he says, fear not, Jehoshaphat. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. A promise of God. God is saying to you today, I don't know what you're going through, but God says, the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to me. God says, I will fight your battle. He promised you that. What do? You have to trust Him. He says, the next day, Jehoshaphat had the nerve to get up and get all the people ready. Three armies is coming to defeat him. And instead of getting all his fighters, he got the singers, the worship leaders, in the front, and they were singing and they were rejoicing going to a battle. Because he had faith in the promise of God. And the Bible says he was going and they were singing in a loud voice. One army started fighting against the next, and the next army fight against the next. And when Jehoshaphat got there, the promise of God was revealed because there was no battle. It was victory. David came back home discouraged one time in 1 Samuel chapter 30. He was discouraged. And when he got home, it says in Ziklag, they came and they took his wife and all the wives and all the children of the people, the men, and even the men, his friends, were against him and wanted to stone him. Yes, that would come. Even those that you trust sometimes would want to turn away from you. he sat and he inquired of the Lord. And God says, go. And he went. And he captured the man that had took his wife and his family and all his stocks and brought it back. So I'm here this morning just to encourage you that the storms would come. See, my daughter, sometimes she's on top of the mountain like Elijah. And then the next day again, when the reality and the feeling steps in, she could be discouraged. You know, 2 weeks ago, I could tell you, I mean, she went to get tested and the cancer cleared up. And she was on the mountaintop. And then last week, she had some implants put in because they took the breast off and they put some. And last week, they said, you know what, there was a recall on the implants we put in. The implants we put in is causing a different kind of cancer. And 31 people died of that cancer. So we got to take it back out. 11 surgeries. And they got to take that back out. And then she was bleeding, and they said, well, we're going to go in and take everything out there. You'll no longer be able to have children. She said, okay. And then this last week, she started bleeding again. And they said that it could be that the cancer is still there, and we couldn't find it. Yes, storms come. And yes, you know she has to walk by faith. But what about if God says no? I just had a discussion with a man who told me God never says no. That was the very last message I preached in New York, when God says no. And my daughter was there. And I shared about her journey. And how I prayed, God, Lord, we don't want her to have any kind of chemo. And she had chemo. God, we don't want her to have radiation. And she had radiation. God, no surgeries. And she had... Then I remember the Apostle Paul. God gave him the power that when he laid hand on people, they were healed immediately. Even the dead rose. And then he had a thorn in the flesh. And not one time, not two times, three times he cried, oh, take this away. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, with tears of blood, Father, take this cup of suffering, not my will, but your will. He went to the cross. David, sin with Bathsheba, and the child was dying. And he prayed, oh God, he was a man after God's own heart, and he sinned, and he repented. And God says, no, the child died. And with a good heart, David wanted to build a temple for God. And God says, no, but your son will. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm here to tell you, the promises of God is real. And when the storm comes, we have to continue walking by faith rather than by feelings. Whatever you're going through this morning, God is able. Hold on to his promises. Live according to what he's called you to. Many times we want to live according to what people tell us. We live according to our reputation, how much money we have, what kind of car we drive, what kind of house we have. And our identity is in the wrong things. And when God allowed those things to be taken from us, where are we standing? Because our identity is in things. Some young people, identity is in sports. They can play volleyball well. And they are known for that. And then something happens and they broke a leg and now they can't play volleyball anymore. Then what happens? Many of us older ones, maybe could be hunting. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, make sure that your identity is in Jesus Christ. Believe what he says about you. And walk in that strength and power. Let's stand. I kind of mixed two messages together here this morning, and I believe this is of the Lord's doing. I love preaching about who I am in Christ, my identity, but I think of the storms that comes that sometimes make us not sure who we are. the problems that come, the difficulties in our families, in our lives, in our children. Who I am in Christ. Whatever the storms you're going through, remember his promises. His promises are true. And yes, just like Jesus did in the boat, they thought he was just sleeping, didn't care about them. And yet, he cared. He cared about them, just the same way he cared about you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus,